Welcome to Coach Calls Timeout. We're a free basketball coaching resource with hundreds of plays, drills, practice plans, articles, tips, and podcast episodes at your disposal. No registration, no logins, absolutely free. Just go to coachcallstimeout.com to find what you're looking for. You're now in the huddle with Coach Calls Timeout. Hey, I'm your host, Dan Jonker. Today is episode number 32, and we're introducing a new segment to the show. It's called The First Quarter, a 12-minute podcast for basketball coaches. My brothers Brian and Brady will join me to talk about a coaching-related issue that we see in the sports world. And we're going to tackle it in less than 12 minutes per episode. No small feat when you have Brian on the panel. You'll see. Today's discussion, we talk about this whole Jimmy Butler, Minnesota Timberwolves soap opera. It got us thinking. What should you do with a player that isn't 100% committed to the team? Let's pick up our discussion now, and you can follow along at coachcallstimeout.com/32. So let's treat Jimmy Butler as if he's a youth player or high school player. He doesn't want to be there. He's not totally committed to the team 100%. Brian, how do you handle that as a coach?
I think if they don't want to play, they wouldn't be there. It's really what the situation is they don't want to play under whatever the condition is that they perceive it to be. That's not, you know, to their liking. So really, what do you do with a disgruntled player, I guess, is the underlying question. There's varying answers, unfortunately. The general answer for me would be I don't want anything to do with it. The reality is you're going to have more patience or maybe make more of an effort in trying to remedy the situation if the person's perceived as someone who potentially could have more value and help you. And that's a sad reality of a lot of these cases. For me personally, early in my coaching career, I was willing to take more chances than I am now because I felt that maybe the risk, you know, wasn't as great as the reward. With age and experience now, I don't believe the same thing. I believe that a harmonious group with people who want to be there and want to be together and want to work hard and get better together, I think in the long run will almost always outweigh, you know, having a disgruntled superstar, if you will. So I would lean towards not being interested in having someone of that ilk infesting the rest of the group.
Brady, you've most recently been a player. Me and Brian have been years since we played on a competitive team. What's your perspective from a player? Do you even think that the players should be a part of that decision?
I guess it all depends on who the player is. I know from my perspective, I mean, I didn't play that much when I was in college. And I personally, I just wanted to win. I wanted to see the team do well and I wanted to be a part of a winning team. So yeah, if you asked me then, I'd probably want to see if there was a way to work it out. And, you know, you want the best player on the floor to win the game. But if, you know, you talk to the second best player or the third best player, so in this instance, Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns, I'm sure they'd be the first ones to say they want Jimmy Butler gone because they want to be the man on the team. So I guess it all depends on where you sit as a player and how it affects you. It's a tough one.
Yeah, I think from a coaching perspective, I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. If he stays, especially with this Jimmy Butler situation, it's a little more public. If he stays, are you going to lose the rest of the locker room? Is everybody else going to be angry that all of a sudden this guy's showing up in the last practices of training camp and he's going to be starting and stealing guys' times who willingly want to be there and want to be part of that team? Is that going to affect the chemistry down the road?
Well, the reality, too, in this situation is he clearly doesn't want to be there. And I'm sure a lot of his motives in whatever he did today and whatever he's going to do going forward is to force the hand of Thibodeau and the Timberwolves in facilitating moving him along. So at this point, if I'm the organization, why are you going to sacrifice anything to have him involved in it to potentially do what you're suggesting, and that is to make others, you know, other people worse? Just get him the hell out of there. I mean, even if it means just tell him to go home and maybe someday we'll call you with a solution, and maybe you'll sit there and rot all year like Kawhi did with his injury last year.
I think that the real issue here with the Timberwolves is they see what they gave up for him last year and see how well the Bulls, you know, the future for the Bulls looks with the three guys they gave up and LaVine and Markkanen and Chris Dunn. And were they going to go trade a disgruntled Jimmy Butler a year later to a team for 1 year? I mean, they're not going to get anything back, and they've basically just traded their future away for an 8 seed in the playoffs and to get out in the first round.
Thibodeau's further complication is that he needs to win now because he's starting to feel heat. So he's kind of, you know, he's in that quandary where he's thinking, well, I know this player, you know, on the court potentially could help me save my job and us win more games. But at the same time, I'm sure as a coach, he also realizes that, you know, the chemistry of the team is being affected here, and isn't that going to negatively affect how many wins we get anyways? So he's not having any great nights of sleep right now, I'm sure.
No, I think his ego is a little too big right now. He probably thinks he knows Jimmy Butler well. He can fix this problem. And I don't see it as a fixable problem. I mean, those three guys do not like each other. Like, Wiggins and Towns do not like him, based on what happened, all the reports from the summer.
Yeah, it's hard to go back after some of the things that have been said, I think. When you start challenging some guys' desire to win and their competitiveness and their willingness to work, those are kind of pretty personal things. And whether he's right or not, the perception by the people that he's saying that about, they're not going to be happy about it. So I don't know how you're not going to repair the damage that's been done.
And he seems like one of those guys that has a real strong personality. If they make a decision that says, don't come back, it's going to be like a cloud is lifted from that team, and they're going to get energy for those first 15, 20 games, and they're going to play well. They're going to do well. I've been on teams where guys have been kicked off the team that are hard to practice with, don't get along with people, and it lifts the team.
I agree.
I think what happened today kind of throws a little bit of a wrench in the situation. I mean, for him to just show up at practice and from all the reports, I mean, he showed up, took the third stringers and beat up on Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Like,
you want to know my conspiracy theory on that one? They let him play really well, so the word gets out that Jimmy Butler's awesome right now and his trade value goes up and he leaves quicker.
Well, the reality is it's almost a guarantee that wherever he does go, he will play well, and he'll try and be on his best behavior for as long as that he's capable of doing that. So, you know, in the short term here, whether it be this year or next year, I mean, I think someone is probably going to get something here that's perceived as a steal, because they're not going to get the value they should when they have to move him like this.
Let's look at it from any perspective instead of Tom Thibodeau's. Can I fix the problem if player A stays? Player A being the difficult player. Can I fix it if he stays, he or she stays? And what does that look like? And then can I fix this if he or she leaves? What that would look like would be a lot easier than if the player stays. If the player stays, you're on a solo mission to mend fences, build chemistry on your own. Whereas if the player leaves, chemistry is going to take care of itself. It's just going to be so much simpler.
Right, but in your head, you're battling that you're giving away an all-star caliber talent.
What's the end game, though, really, for a team like Minnesota? The West is stacked. They're not winning a championship with Jimmy Butler or not having Jimmy Butler. They might not even make the playoffs with him. Golden State's winning.
Yeah, but you don't want to stunt the progress of your young group, especially Towns and Wiggins, if you believe that they're two pieces of a triumvirate or whatever that potentially could challenge for a championship 3 years, 4 years, 6 years down the road, right? They're so young. And do you want to stunt that growth? Do you want to poison those young minds and, you know, even create a situation where someday 2-3 years from now they're sitting around one night after a four-game losing streak and they're not happy and the you know, all of a sudden, hey, we saw how this works before. Let's just gang up on the coach. Let's do whatever we need to, and we'll fix it ourselves. You know, you don't need any of those things being planted in a young person's mind. You want those guys to be playing confidently, free, happy, together, you know, working together, because maybe they are two of, you know, a 3 or 4 person puzzle that could potentially challenge someday.
Yeah, that's the other aspect. I mean, if they truly believe in Wiggins and Towns, you're not losing an all-star in Butler. You're empowering 2 all-stars to play better and to have more freedom and to be happier.
Well said.
And by the way, did you use the word triumvirate? What was that?
Triumvirate?
Trio? Triumvirate?
We're a triumvirate.
Anyways, add that to the list of made-up words that you've used.
I confidently make up words all the time. They're not made up if you believe them.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so let's come to a consensus. So what would you do? Keep the problem player or remove the problem player? Brady, you go first. What's your vote?
No money involved. You got to remove them.
Yeah, I'm the same. Brian?
Yes, remove them.
Yeah, 3-0. That's pretty obvious, especially with this situation. There's nothing to gain. If you like what you heard today, please share it with another coach. While you're at it, let them know about Coach Calls Timeout. We have over 200 free plays, drills, practice plans, and tips for coaches of all ages and all skill levels. Next week, we'll be back to talk about another coaching-related issue, and there's a good chance Brian will make up another word for us. We'll see you then.